the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Yitro. Elmod is our website for electronic learning from the Pardes Institute. Check out everything that's available at elmod.pardes.org. This week, Yitro with Rabbi Meir Schweiger. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member at Pardes and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. Before I begin this week's podcast, I would like to specially thank Phil and Daphna Ross for sponsoring this podcast. Phil is a Pardes alum. He is a former student of mine. But even more important, both Phil and Daphna have become very, very dear and close friends. Phil and Daphna have a tremendous love of Torah, dedication to the Jewish people, and commitment to the land of Israel. You are a beautiful example of what living Torah is all about. I would like to take this opportunity to bless you and wish you that you get tremendous nachat ruach from your beautiful family and from all the work of your hands. Now let's go on to the parsha. This week's parsha is Parshat Yitro. The centerpiece of our parsha is the revelation at Sinai, the Ten Commandments. There are actually two accounts of the Ten Commandments. One which appears in our parsha as it's happening in real time, and the second in the book of Deuteronomy, Parshat Va'etchanan, 40 years later, when Moshe is recalling to a new generation that's grown up in the desert that momentous event at Mount Sinai. When we compare the two accounts, they are identical with what I would call a few cosmetic exceptions, except for the fourth commandment, Shabbat. All of a sudden, there are a number of differences, which I would call significant differences, which beg the question, why? Why by Shabbat do we have a different account? This is what I would like to examine today, to first of all see the differences, try to understand why, and through all that to hopefully get a much deeper understanding of what Shabbat is all about. I have attached a table with a comparison between the two accounts of the Ten Commandments. I have highlighted the differences, which I hope will make it easier to follow my talk. So without any further ado, in our account, the section of Shabbat begins with Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. Remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. In Deuteronomy, it says Shamor et Yom HaShabbat. Guard the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And although there are a number of classic, what are called pshat interpretations, that say that in fact Zachor and Shamor could be used interchangeably and essentially mean the same thing, which we would probably translate as observe the Sabbath day, but I am of the school of thought that says the Hebrew language is a very, very rich language, and that there are, in this case, not only different words, but even were it to be the same words, they could have different connotations. How did the rabbis understand this? We have a very interesting rabbinic comment, which says, Zachor v'shamor bedibur echad ne'emru. Zachor and Shamor were said in one utterance. Mashi i'efshar lepe ledaber. Something which is impossible for a person to utter, something which is impossible for a person to really hear. Now, interestingly, when the rabbis say this, they clearly understand Zachor and Shamor as being two distinct words, which I would say have two different meanings. And the rabbis also do not see Moshe rewriting the Ten Commandments, but simply recording in Deuteronomy what actually happened in Exodus. And the way the rabbis reconcile this is by saying that in fact God actually said both of these things together. The rabbis understand Zachor as referring to the positive observance of Shabbat, and in one place link it specifically with the act of Kiddush. How do I remember Shabbat? To sanctify it. I verbalize it. I proclaim, I declare Shabbat when it enters. Even to the point where the rabbis in one place say that we do this over a cup of wine. What is Shamor? How do I guard Shabbat? By not violating it. By not doing work. Shamor is referring to the prohibitions of Shabbat. By not working on Shabbat, that is how I sanctify Shabbat. That is how I separate Shabbat from the other days of the week. You could see Zachor is being proactive, whereas Shamor is desisting from doing something. Interestingly, on the basis of that understanding, the rabbis say women are actually obligated to make Kiddush on Shabbat, because essentially what they say is Zachor and Shamor were said in one utterance. Zachor and Shamor are two sides of the coin, two complementary aspects of the experience of Shabbat. And hence, whoever is obligated in the prohibitions is obligated in the positive observance of Shabbat. And since women are equally obligated in all of the prohibitions of the Torah, despite the fact that generally women are exempt from what are known as time-bound commandments, in this case, the juxtaposition of prohibition and positive observance obligate women. This is the rabbinic understanding. So that Zachor and Shamor reflect two different ways in which I sanctify Shabbat. One is by actively declaring Shabbat as a holy day, by making Kiddush, that's Zachor, whereas Shamor is by refraining from doing any type of work. By abstaining from work, I am separating Shabbat, I am sanctifying it vis-a-vis the rest of the week. Interestingly, in other rabbinic literature and midrashim, there are other expressions of how I remember Shabbat, with the idea being I not only remember Shabbat as it enters by declaring it Shabbat, but I actually constantly remember Shabbat every day, every moment of the week. So that there is one comment that's attributed to a number of different rabbis that says if you come across some special food, some special object, save it to be used on Shabbat. The idea being that how do I remember Shabbat? By constantly thinking about how I can honor Shabbat. How do I sanctify it? I sanctify it by making it special. I have special food. I might have special clothing. I might have special dishes which I use. And all the time, whenever I come across something which is special, oh, that should be for Shabbat. There's another way that we constantly remember Shabbat. That's how we refer to the days of the week. We don't speak about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, which are actually names rooted in idolatry. Sunday, the day of the sun. Monday, the day of the moon. With each day, Saturday being connected with Saturn. Each day is connected with a different deity that was actually worshipped. But we refer to Sunday as Yom Rishon, Monday as Yom Sheni, the first day, the second day. And for people who are familiar with the Shacharit service, we say Hayom Yom Rishon Lishabbat, Yom Sheni Lishabbat, so that I list the days in relationship to Shabbat. The days don't have independent names. Shabbat has a special name, but every day is simply a number relative to Shabbat. Now this leads me to something else which appears in our parsha, which is, why do we remember Shabbat? Or maybe even, what do we remember on Shabbat? And it says at the end of our section, Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. Because 6 days God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in it, and God rested by Yom HaShvi'i. And then at the end it says, Al kein beirach Hashem et Yom HaShabbat. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day, Vayikatshehu, and He sanctified it. A number of commentaries note that when you talk about remembering, remembering is actually looking towards the past. And in this case, I look to the past of the creation story. I see that my observance of Shabbat is very much rooted in the creation story. In the same way that God created the world in 6 days, God stopped working on the seventh day. This is, by the way, the beginning of chapter 2 in the book of Genesis. And not only that, but in that section in Genesis, it says, God blessed the Sabbath day. God sanctified the Sabbath day, which are the words that appear by us. So it's as if when I observe Shabbat, I go back to the creation story. I remember the God who created the world. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to focus on this idea of Shabbat in creation, and in particular, on this idea of God having blessed the Sabbath day, of having sanctified the Sabbath day. There's a very interesting rabbinic comment which Rashi quotes in Genesis, in chapter 2, on that verse where it says God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. How did God bless the Sabbath day? With manna, a double portion of manna. How did God sanctify the Sabbath day? By the fact that the manna did not fall on Shabbat, was not gathered on Shabbat. Now this comment seems to be coming out of left field, and it certainly seems to be totally inappropriate in Genesis, where there's no manna. On the other hand, I think, when you see though that phrase appear by us in Exodus, in our parsha, which comes a few chapters after the story of the manna, which was in last week's parsha, perhaps it gives us a certain perspective on what Shabbat is all about. And what do I mean by that? What is happening in the story of the manna? The Jewish people are in the desert. Their food runs out. They cry out to God. They need to eat. And what does God do? God provides them with manna every day. God brings them manna, they gather it. And as we just noted on Friday, they're given a double portion, one which will be used on Friday, one which will be used on Shabbat, because on Shabbat, there will be no manna which comes down. On Shabbat, they will rest. They will sanctify Shabbat. They will separate Shabbat. On Shabbat, they will experience the blessing of the manna, the double portion which was given to them on Friday, which they can now enjoy on Shabbat. What is the message of the manna? So the first thing which I'd like to point out is that God not only created the world, but God renews His creation every day. God is involved every day in giving people the basic sustenance of their lives. And for the Jewish people who are in the desert, having the manna shows them the goodness of God, the kindness of God, so that the experience of Shabbat, I would say, is an empowering experience. And what do I mean by empowering? It's as if on Shabbat, by not working, by stepping back, I am able to actually look at the blessing in my life, at how much I have, at the goodness in my life. Even God rested on Shabbat to be able to now look back at what he had created during the week, to see it in its perspective, to see how it was very good, not just good, so that for us, Shabbat is a day which is very, very positive in the sense of it moves us to appreciate everything that we have. And that is why perhaps during the week, save what you have for Shabbat, so that on Shabbat, you will be able to see all of that blessing. You will be able to see the goodness of everything that you have. This is a very, very, what I would call, upbeat side of Shabbat. By the way, I would add to that, well, maybe I'll leave that for a little bit. Now let's go to what appears in Dvarim. In Dvarim it says, guard Shabbat, which we said refers to not doing work, not violating. Note the fact that it says, in order that you and your servant shall rest equally. This doesn't appear by us. And then it goes on to say in Deuteronomy, remember, you were a servant in Egypt. God took you out of Egypt with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. Now this gives me another dimension to Shabbat. Shabbat is telling me to look back at what happened in Egypt. And why? Because it's telling me, on Shabbat, you and your servant are equal. On Shabbat, there is no master-servant. On Shabbat, we are all equally servants of God. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Remember, it was God's strong hand. So that what Shabbat is doing now is trying to counter what could be a tendency of people when things are actually going very, very well to get caught up with themselves, to see themselves as the center of the universe, to perhaps become intoxicated with their power and enslave others. And comes Shabbat, which is the great social equalizer. On Shabbat, we are all equally servants of God. So that if in the context of Exodus, when the Jewish people are in a desert, when on a certain level it seems the Jewish people have nothing, and Shabbat is there to make them realize, even when you might think you have nothing, you have everything. Look at this unbelievable blessing which God is giving you. And Shabbat is the time to be able to value what you have. In Deuteronomy, when the Jewish people are on the threshold of entering the land of Israel, when the Torah is anticipating that they will be extremely successful, affluent, when they come into the land of Israel. And as a result of that, where the Torah is very concerned that they will forget God, abuse their affluence, exploit the people around them. So Shabbat becomes a reminder. Don't get too carried away with yourself. Just remember, put things in perspective. Ultimately, you are a servant of God. Ultimately, you are equal to everybody else. Ultimately, there's nothing which makes you more significant than your fellow human being. And therefore, in the section in Deuteronomy, twice, it says, therefore, God commanded you to do the Shabbat. And in the beginning of the section, guard the Shabbat day as God commanded you. In the beginning and at the end of the section, it emphasizes the idea of commandment. It emphasizes the idea that ultimately we are servants of God. It's a humbling experience. So that if I take the two sections together, there is an aspect of Shabbat which is very, very empowering. There's an aspect of Shabbat which is pushing me to appreciate all of the blessing in my life, to enjoy that blessing. And then there's another aspect of Shabbat which is telling me, don't get carried away with your blessing. Don't forget God. Don't forget that your blessing is something which is to be shared equally by those all around you. I would like to just add one last thing, which is noted by a number of commentaries, and that is that beyond everything which I've just said, the fact that we don't work on Shabbat, rather than being something which constrains us, which you might even say locks us in, the fact that we don't do work is actually something which is liberating. By not working on Shabbat, it opens me up, it allows me to now engage in other pursuits. And all of the classic commentaries emphasize Shabbat is a day of pursuing a different dimension of who I am, of pursuing my spiritual self. It's a day of dedicating myself to maybe ultimately coming to terms with why we exist in this world. And although on Shabbat, as I said before, there is a mitzvah of appreciating the blessing of eating well, of dressing well, of having an environment which is comfortable, but all of that is in a certain sense the outer form. Ultimately, all of that is to create an environment which will then enable me to enter another realm, a realm which is asking me to somehow transcend myself, to see who am I, what is my soul, how can I aspire to be more in terms of actualizing my divine image, more in terms of imitating God, more in terms of being able to somehow transcend myself, go be outside of myself, to become one with not only all those around me, but together with all those around me, to truly become one with God. Shabbat Shalom, and I hope that what I've discussed today will make Shabbat a more meaningful experience for all of you, for all of us. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.